Seasons are changing a little bit. It was only about, a week and a half ago, it was quite warm outside, and now it's chilly, and I know some folks like that. It's a change of season and a little different feeling, and people enjoy that sweater weather, you know what I mean? Oh, we can dress differently now, and not so hot outside, and we like to see the leaves turning any minute now. We'll see the change of the colors in the leaves, and that's very enjoyable, and it does seem that along with the autumn, the fall, the decorations, the pumpkins and the corn stalks, you know, my family, my wife loves the fall season. She, you know what she likes to do is apple picking. She really loves that. This season, there's something happened to the apples. I don't know what, but apparently not a real great year for apples. We missed the apple picking, but we went to the farm anyway, and we took the kids over the weekend, and we saw the sights and enjoyed the outdoors and the fresh air. But along with all of that, we get Halloween, too. We get the Halloween season. I was driving by just a couple of days ago, driving through town with my kids in the car, and we passed a house that was really, really done up for Halloween. Some, you know, some really decorated a little bit, but some really go all out, and we passed the house. The whole property was full of these 12-foot-tall skeletons, huge witches, goblins, all kinds of stuff. It was meant to be a little bit scary, and my kids actually were scared. They said, "What is going on there?" And they asked me a question. They said, "Why?" Well, Halloween season, you know. But they asked me a thoughtful question. They said, "Why are we so excited about dead things?" I thought it was a good question. Now, I don't think too hard about it anymore because I'm used to it. You know, it's the season of the year. You see the different decorations, and you see it here and there. And I'll tell you this, more and more in retail shopping centers, you see the Halloween decorations come out really early because stores need something to sell. So right away in September, you already see it. You just get used to it. You know, well, of course, it's what we do. And but my kids asked me, why are we so fascinated with dead things? And it made me think, well, that is a good question. What is this so exciting? Why is that exciting to see some zombies and skeletons, and it's just interesting to us. It's not just in the United States either. Other countries as well have different versions, and celebrating dead things. Why? And well, I want to talk to you a little bit about that, Halloween specifically. Where did it come from? I do understand and appreciate that many people don't think real hard about it. It just is, and the kids put on costumes, and they have fun, and we don't want to think too hard about it. But in my case, I've got to make an informed decision for my family. What are we going to do about it? We got kids. Do we participate, not participate, participate halfway? I want to know what it is. Why do we do it? Where it came from? We'll talk a little bit about that and give you some Bible verses to look at. You can make your own decision. Well, let's pray. And we need the Lord's guidance for sure to talk about a topic like this. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can know you and your salvation that you've offered to us. This is something that we're thankful for every day. And whatever the world may be doing around us, we can walk with you, we can pray to you, we can read your word, refresh ourselves and find light and uplifting comfort there. We're thankful for that. We ask you bless and guide in this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go back a little bit. We got to go back in time. See where it came from. In the United States, Halloween, believe it or not, it was not always a big thing. Seems like it is a big thing now. And I'll give you, in a few minutes, I'll give you some of the statistics, and you won't be surprised at all when I tell you how much money we spend on Halloween now and how much we participate. It's a lot, but it didn't always used to be the case. In our country, Halloween became more and more popular the early part in midway of 20th century, but before that wasn't really observed that much. Where did it come from? We go way back. The history of Halloween. We go back to somebody named Samhain, and it's spelled, it looks like Samhain, maybe on your paper. It looks like that. It's pronounced Samhain. So many, many years ago, in fact, before the birth of Christ, a century before the time of Christ, people in what we think of as the British Isles today, that's what we would call it now, but Western Europe, people worshiped a god called Samhain. And I'll tell you a little bit about the whole deal, the whole practice. At this time of year, as the seasons changed, they considered November 1st to be the day of death. And it had to do with the sun god. They had a sun god called Makala. And they looked and saw that the days were getting shorter and shorter. The sun was dying, I guess they would say. And what was happening is the sun, the light, was being overtaken by the god of death. Ladies, guess what was the name of the god of death? Samhain. That's our, right, Samhain. And so they observed October 31st as the feast day, the vigil of Samhain, they called it. And so they had various practices, and it won't surprise you at all when I describe what they did. They had big bonfires, and they worshipped. Say it again. Bonfires. It's very interesting. What we call today bonfires actually comes from that phrase, bonfire, and it goes back to this tradition, which is centuries old. They would offer sacrifices in these fires, and animals, yes, but also people. They strongly believed that human sacrifices were necessary to appease these gods and the darkness and everything. It was part of their practice. So the word we use bonfire today comes from that tradition of bone fires. They would burn living animals and people in the fires, and then they would watch the movements of these suffering victims, and that would be some kind of indication of what was going to happen in the future, something like that. So that's what they did on October 31st. You say that's exactly like Halloween. No, but there's some interesting parallels. You may never have heard the name Samhain before, but you've probably seen his picture. You've probably seen a picture of Samhain. Samhain was represented as, I know, now we're thinking, what could it be? He was represented as a ghostly skeleton who had a big, big sickle in his hand. And he came to reap lost souls, and so we call that the Grim Reaper now. But that is really, that's the exact image of what they thought of as Samhain. That was the god, false god. Just in case you don't understand what I'm saying, they had this in their imagination, that there was this god of darkness and death, and we call him the Grim Reaper now, but that was Samhain. He came to reap and take the lost souls. So, that's the history of it. That goes way back to the Druids. You can see on your notes there, the Druids. You know what Druids were or what they are? And yeah, there's still Druids today. There are people who call themselves Druids, but...
Ireland.
Sure. Yeah. So these were the priests. The Druids were the people in that area. The British Isles, what we think of as British Isles. They led in the worship, the Druids, the Druidic priests. They were the ones who led in the worship. And they would gather for these big fires, either in a circle of trees or a circle of stones. Maybe you've heard of Stonehenge. And that is the most obvious lasting remnant of that kind of thing in England. And do you know that just 3 miles north of Stonehenge, there are huge burial mounds full of human remains, what was probably human victims of sacrifices. So that's a way we could put a mental image to it. We've heard of Stonehenge. We know what that is. So the Druids were the priests who led in that, again, before the time of Christ. Here's an interesting side point. I'll quote from a couple of authors. This is not something I'm an expert on. I'm just quoting here. One author named George Douglas says that the Druidic customs actually, quote, were derived from ancient Baal festivals. Do you remember reading about Baal in the Old Testament? People worshiped Baal and the things they did, including human sacrifices. We read phrases in Scripture like they made their children to pass through the fire. They were offering human sacrifices. So George Douglas said those customs originate from the taking of omens from struggling victims in the fires of Druidic sacrifice. Another author, Alexander Hislop, says the god whom the Jewish worship was actually based on Baal, as their blazing Baal fires show, and etc. It goes on. So that's just interesting. There was a a note here. A few years back, there was a group that was visiting in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, going around to public libraries and presenting their religion in public presentations. Their religion was Wicca. They were witches. And one of the men who was there presenting the religion at the public library said, "I actually am a druid. I'm a druid priest." So this, the customs, at least, survive in some form or another. Well, that brings us to the name Halloween. We don't call it the Vigil of Samhain today. It's still October 31st. But the name Halloween essentially came from an attempt by the Catholic, Roman Catholic Empire to try to Christianize this day. So centuries after these customs began, the Roman Catholic Church said, November 1st obviously is a big day for these people, as well as October 31st. Let's replace it with a Christian name and see if we can Christianize the custom to try to draw them toward Christianity, I guess, in some way. So they called November 1st All Saints Day, and then October 31st was All Hallows Eve, which got shortened to Halloween. And so it was meant to somehow religiousize or spiritualize what had been a pagan practice. Did it succeed? Not really, to the point where even today in modern times, Catholic people, I'm not a Catholic person, but Catholic people will say, you know, there's great danger in observing Halloween. It was the Catholic Church's attempt to try to Christianize it. It just didn't stick, I guess. And even today, you don't see Halloween observed as, well, that's the time we all should go to church and we all should think about Jesus. And not at all. Not at all. It's just the fascination with death somehow sticks in us, and that's just what we wanted as people, and so we just held on to that. But that's where the name came from. Real quick, number two, some modern customs that we're familiar with. Very strong parallels. Why do we dress up in costumes? Once again, I repeat to you, I'm trying to be definite with this information to give you the information that you need to make some informed decisions, but I'm not upset with people. I do understand that people like for their kids to have a good time, and the kids don't know anything about Samhain. I know that, and they dress up in costumes, and it's fun. I know that. I understand. But where do we even get the idea of dressing up in costumes? Well, it came very directly from that Vigil of Samhain. That is literally exactly what the observant people would do. People who believed in those demonic customs, they would dress up in costumes. The idea was they had to disguise themselves to keep themselves from the danger of the demons. On October 31st, the idea was that the separation between the spirit world and the material world became very, very thin. And so spirits were allowed to go interact with the human world on that night. And so they had to disguise themselves. They put on disguises. And I'll tell you this, it's interesting. Those people who were really, really into the custom and the observances, they would go, believe it or not, from house to house, dressed in costumes, from house to house, visiting around to see who was supportive and who was going to be a part of the ritual. So, yeah, that sounds a lot like let's see here. I'm quoting now. It says, those people dressed in costumes went from house to house singing and dancing and wearing grotesque costumes. So, all right. From the Encyclopedia Britannica, describing the way that people would wear disguises to protect them from the evil spirits. Number two, I'm really moving along here. I didn't fill in that blank, did you? Number two, origin of some of Halloween's customs. That's what we were trying to say. Number two, Halloween's customs. Customs, the things we do today to observe Halloween. So number one, what was number one? History of Halloween. Number two, the origins of Halloween customs, including costumes. Very literally, that's what was done hundreds of years ago at the Vigil of Samhain. How about trick or treat? Well, I just described to you that these observant people who believed in the rituals, they would dress in costumes, they would go from house to house. And in some cases, hey, I wasn't there, I didn't observe it, but in some cases, apparently, what they would do would be to collect offerings. So as they would go from house to house, if you really believed in the customs, you'd give them something. You'd give them a gift or you'd give them an offering to sacrifice. And if you didn't, in some cases, they would beat you. And so that's where the idea of trick-or-treat came from. Oh, you don't have a gift for us? They had a cane that they would carry around. They'd whack you with the cane. I wasn't there, but I'm just saying. This is coming from the author's name is Irene Park. And as it happens, Irene Park, the author, is a former witch. She was converted. She's now a Christian, but she was a former witch. She's writing about the customs as they used to be. How about jack-o'-lanterns? A jack-o'-lantern is a representation of a lost soul. So the soul that's been trapped in a lantern, people will carve the pumpkin. And again, I'm telling you, I'm not upset at people. We have fun. We do this. We carve pumpkins, and it's fun and interesting. But putting a light in that pumpkin, it's something that traditionally represented that light was a captured soul. He couldn't go to heaven. He couldn't go to hell. He was just wandering the earth. And so that's what the representation was. That's where the tradition came from. And, yeah.
I'm so sorry. I never knew that. So the carved face and all that is supposed to represent a lost soul?
I'll just read it to you.
Okay.
Jack-o'-lanterns were named for a man called Jack, who could not enter heaven or hell. As a result, again, I'm not the expert. I just got a lot of different information from different authors here. He was doomed to wander in darkness with his lantern until judgment day. End quote. Another author named Owen Ratcliffe says that this candlelit pumpkin or skull, apparently sometimes it was a skull, not a pumpkin, could also serve as a signal to mark the homes and the farms that were sympathetic to the practices and the worships. So you'd put the thing out and light the candle if you were, you know, you wanted to be part of the whole thing. Yes?
Just to clarify, when you say we, you and your family, just people.
Did I say we?
Yeah,
we in our culture. Hey, I can't lie. It is our culture. It's what we do. You know, it's hey Halloween. It's so yeah. I don't. You might guess that I personally do not observe Halloween. Yeah, so I have reasons for that, and I'm trying to just lay it out objectively. I'm not trying to sound like I have a personal vendetta against somebody who carves a pumpkin. And didn't think too hard about, you know, they don't know anything about Samhain, so that's, you know, I'm trying to just be objective, but no, I don't observe Halloween. I don't. Yes?
Now, some people will try to say that if you put the pumpkin out with the candle for travelers to indicate this is a place you could get rest.
Yeah, okay.
Whether or not that was a justification, like, let's give it an explanation of why. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Yeah, but why specifically on that night, you know? That, again, I'm telling you, I wasn't there. I'm not trying to overemphasize a point. I'm just reading what people tell me. This is where it came from. How about black cats? We all know this, that black cats considered to be unlucky. Black cats were thought of as reincarnated people who had done something really bad. And so they were reincarnated as black cats, or sometimes as witches in disguise. That was another thought. And this is all superstition, okay? There was not a factual basis for this. It was just the thought people had. And even bobbing for apples, as it happens, bobbing for apples is a Roman custom based on their Roman gods and goddesses. They had a goddess of Pomona, and at this time of year, that's what they would do. They would literally bob for apples. They would put, Pomona was their goddess of the fruit trees. So they would put apples in water, and people would try to dip and grab them. And so it was not necessarily directly linked to what we've been describing before, the Druidic customs. It was something that was Roman, but it happened at the same time of year. And that's where we got the idea. I'm not really trying to tell you that it's a bad thing, you know, to bob for apples. It's just, where did the idea come from? That's where the idea came from. Now, number three. Let's wrap up here quick. Number three, modern day. So that was the old times. Is Halloween popular in modern times? It certainly is. We expect in 2025 in the United States of America, we expect to spend over $13 billion on Halloween. I told you this, I believe it's driven by retail marketing. because stores have to have something to advertise between Labor Day and Christmas. And for some reason, Thanksgiving is not interesting to us. We don't care about Thanksgiving, so it's got to be Halloween. And so people will see the stuff in the stores and they'll buy it. Well, look, they got a thing. They got a ghost. Let's buy the ghost. And so we spend money and we observe and so forth. I've heard people really emphasize it's more popular than Christmas now. That's not the case. That's not actually the case. And I'm thankful for that, at least. We do spend 9 times as much on Christmas as Halloween, according to the internet. So I looked it up this morning. So I'm happy about that. I like Christmas, but yes.
I agree it's not the biggest Christmas, but
no. I don't know. They get bigger and bigger. They got to outdo themselves every year. I told you about those skeletons. I never saw those skeletons until maybe a couple years before. Now they got these skeletons that are 2 stories high. How do you even put that together? That's a lot of work. Yeah. I don't know. So we think about these things just on the surface of it. As a Christian person, let's think it through. If we're going to celebrate something in the world, do we want to highlight skeletons and dead things and witches? And I appreciate somebody could say it's just a fun thing. Like, okay, but I think we should think a little more than we do as a culture rather than a little less. If the encouragement is don't think so hard about it, just enjoy yourself. I got to make decisions for my household, so I'm going to think about it. Do we observe Halloween? We do. I told you it did not used to be years ago. It wasn't as popular in the United States as it is now. In fact, the pilgrims banned it. You remember the pilgrims? We talk about the pilgrims at Thanksgiving time. And when they were establishing colonies and settlements, they were aware of it. Was Halloween. They were aware of it. They said nobody was allowed to practice it here. And then later on, early 20th century, quite a lot of European immigration, and us Europeans, we brought it over, and it was something that more and more and more became popularized, so really popular now. Okay. In addition to just being a fun time for everybody, number three, modern observance of Halloween. On your notes, modern observance of Halloween. In addition to being just a popular holiday, it is still a high day for occultists and Satanists. It is. And that's just a fact. It's not opinion. Like it's a fact that it's very popular and people spend a lot of money having fun with it. If you are somebody who's an observant Satanist or occultist, Halloween is your highest, most sacred day in the entire year. And so I've got so many things here, I can't read this all to you. Quote, Phil Phillips says this, quote, Halloween is a day that witches celebrate above all other days. And quote, here's a news item from the state of Maine. The state penitentiary had to allow satanic services because there were about 75 people in the system that identified as whatever, you know, Wiccan or what have you, and they said, Halloween is our religious day. You have to allow us services, and so they did. There was in the United States Air Force, there was a physical therapist who was a doctor in the Air Force, and she says, I'm a practicing witch. I have to have Halloween off. It's the holiest day in the year, and these are just, I don't want to spend a lot of time highlighting this stuff, but if it sounds to you like it's a tiny bit personal with me, it is, because I know this. Where my mom and dad are ministering, my dad's a pastor, has been for years, where they minister, occultism is fairly prevalent. It's practiced, and it's very common at Halloween for state park rangers to find remains in the parks, things that have been sacrificed, and that is the day that Satanists fast and pray. And what are they praying for, do you think? They're praying that churches would be destroyed and that pastors would be destroyed and that pastors' families would be destroyed. That is their day. Okay, so do I like it? Do I think it's fun and cute? I'm sorry, I don't. Even in Wisconsin, it's not quite as prevalent, but even in Wisconsin, I've got information here. Again, it's so disturbing, I don't want to read, but in Milwaukee County, remains that have been found and children who have suffered because of assaults that happened connected with Halloween. And so it's relevant, it's current, something that is still practiced. Well, I will leave you with this, Roman numeral 4, biblical principles. This is very rare for me. I don't like to come to a Bible study, and I've never actually opened up a Bible, but I've printed it there for you. The verses are all there. We can talk about this background history and just give you that historical information as a point of reference, but as a Christian person, we want to open the Bible, so I definitely encourage you. I'm going to wrap up right now, but you'll have a little bit of table time. Among your table, open up a Bible, just look at some good, uplifting, positive, light-filled scriptures, and let's guide our personal decisions toward the light, wherever you land, you know, whatever your opinion may be as a Christian person. Every opportunity you have to bring a little light into the world, a little uplifting encouragement and morality to people, that's what we want to aim for. And leave some of these lesser things behind. Okay, well, thanks for coming today. Good to see you.